Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you caring for an aging parent? Are you searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources, helping you become the best caregiver you can be. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, president of Senior Care Consulting. Thanks so much for tuning in today. You are appreciated. Senior Care Live is the nation's premier radio program, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. This is a safe place to get accurate and reliable information you can absolutely count on. Each and every week, we discuss important issues such as how to remain independent in your own home, how to find the right senior care community, how to pay for the high cost of senior care, and legal issues involving elder law and estate planning. We also discuss senior-related health issues and how to care for the caregiver. As always, if you have a question, you can reach us on our toll-free number anytime. It's 1-800-331-6445. 1-800-331-6445. You can also visit online. It's a good website. Just go out and check that out at Senior Care Live, L-I-V-E, seniorcarelive.com. All right. So we have a really great program for you here today. And it goes without saying that we find ourselves in extraordinary times right now. And, you know, times when we are called to help our neighbors in our community by doing the opposite of what comes naturally to us, staying away from each other. I know that's really, really hard for me personally to do that. And at any other time, we would be physically drawing together to support those who are in need, but that just simply isn't an option right now for all of the obvious reasons. So I'm pleased to welcome Mr. David Wiley, President and CEO of Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, to discuss some of the challenges we're facing and how we can overcome them together. So, David, welcome to Senior Care Live.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be here today.
All right. I first want to thank your caregivers who are on the front lines each and every day. The need for the care provided at Kansas City Hospice has not gone away. And in fact, your mission to provide expert care, peace of mind, comfort, guidance, and hope to our community is more important now than ever before. So, what are some of the challenges you see caregivers and patients facing right now?
Well, thanks, Steve. I appreciate those kind words. But first, you know, let me start and say how grateful we are to be part of the Kansas City community. You know, people here have always cared for one another, and that really hasn't changed. You know, we are all hearing about some of the greatest challenges healthcare providers are facing, not only here, but throughout the country. And that's whether we can access enough of the personal protection equipment, often referred to as simply as PPE, and to keep our nurses and our caregivers safe, as well as our patients and families that we serve. Another challenge that we're seeing among families is the access to help with some basic needs, which have been much more limited in the midst of the pandemic. The patients we serve and their caregivers, as you mentioned, are at high risk, and they're unable to venture out for access, for help, or even get groceries or hygiene supplies. And many of the organizations that served them previously have suspended their services, which puts them in a precarious position. Not only are they coping with a serious illness, but they may not always know where their next meal is coming from, which is hard to imagine. And I would say the third greatest challenge that we're seeing is a sense of isolation, loneliness, even fear and anxiety, which so often comes from following, you know, physical distancing guidelines, which have been so important in keeping all of us safe.
Absolutely. At my church, we partner with Harvesters, and we might normally help 100-150 families with food. Sure. The last two times we've done this, we've served 500 families. Wow. So you talk about some of those essential support services. Now they're gone, and people are in big trouble out there for Absolutely. Even the most basic necessities. So that connection with our loved ones and the greater community is so important. And I'm certain that is even more so with the people that you serve, as they're either challenged with a serious illness of their own or a loved one or grieving a significant loss in their life. So can you share more about how the physical isolation is affecting patients and families served by Kansas City Hospice?
Sure. You know, I think one really positive thing about hospice is that the issues of loneliness, isolation, and other areas of mental health are really not new to us. So we've long been attuned to these challenges, particularly for people at the end of life or who are grieving the loss of someone that they've loved. So what we so often see is that, you know, it's a natural response for some people to self-withdraw from others as they work to manage these issues. But what's different now is that since everyone is physically isolating, it's easier to miss signals from people that you're no longer seeing face to face. So they may be withdrawing into themselves in an unhealthy way. And if no one's checking on them or offering support, they may feel invisible and actually sink even further.
Mm. Yes, that is a huge concern. So what are you doing at Kansas City Hospice to address that issue?
You know, there are several things, Steve, that we're doing. First and foremost, anyone on our service has a team of professionals that's checking on them, tuning into their needs and ensuring that they have the care and support that they need. And this is really the hospice model of care. It's designed to meet people where they are to ensure they do have support. To be able to do this effectively, we've moved many of our services to formats which allow us to continue to offer care in a physically safe way. So telehealth, for example. In just 5 weeks, we've been able to do nearly 300 telehealth visits, which I think is incredible.
Wow.
We're coordinating virtual visits. So to the extent that people cannot physically get together as a family during this time, whether it's travel restrictions or other visitor restrictions, we're working to help make that happen. And then, of course, through volunteer support. We're also really doing some unique things with our grief support program. Again, through virtual visits, whether that's phone calls or through video telehealth type experiences, our rate of acceptance is nearly double, which I think is incredible. So yeah, people are answering the phones, they're agreeing to services. You know, I guess that's one positive thing that's happened, that we've slowed down as a society and that we're taking some time to connect with one another, you know, to both give as well as receive support. So those are some things that we're doing.
And, you know, I think we had talked about this possibly last month, but even though this is a really difficult time, I think some really good things are going to come out of that. And you just mentioned one, just slow down.
Yeah.
And get off of that merry-go-round that's going so fast all the time. Get off of that and just see with a new perspective, see with a fresh set of eyes. see the importance of your family when maybe you took them for granted. Maybe you took your health for granted. There's so many good things that are happening from this, and it's terrible that it takes something like this to kind of force that. But in the end, a lot of great things are coming of this.
It's true, Steve. You know, for me, I would say just waking up and sometimes watching the sunrise or watching the sunset. You know, I don't know if I was taking the time that I am today to do some of that. You know, we always saw our family around the holidays, and you know, and we typically would get together at Christmas and then at Easter, but we've been doing kind of some Zoom sessions together, and and now you know, we may be tired of seeing each other. We're seeing so much of each other, but it's actually fun, and we're getting caught up. And I have nieces and nephews all over the country. It's really been a fun outcome of this, and it's important, like you said. So,
all right. And my wife is a nurse, and she has a lot of friends who are nurses, and some of them are scattered about the country now. They've moved on from the Kansas City area. And the other day, my wife said, "Honey, can you help me set up this Zoom thing so I can talk to my friends?" And they had a happy hour. It was a happy 2-hour Zoom get together, maybe even 2.5 hours, but they just had a great time reconnecting. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if they would have made that happen a couple of months ago, just because life is just spinning so fast. And so you slow down and you see what's important, and you now take the time, and frankly, you have the time to connect, and just so many great things. So David, we have about a minute left. Do you see these restrictions starting to ease a little bit, or are we still full on restricted right now?
Yeah, you know, Steve, for us, we're following the Kansas City, Missouri guidelines. And I think from an office perspective, we still want to give our caregivers as much space as possible and protect them from whatever is going to happen. You know, we certainly don't want to cause that type of problem. So I feel like that is going to continue. I think that the outcome from this will be that more people will accept, you know, some of the services that we've offering. The telehealth has been a real game changer. I know that I went to a physician via telehealth, and that was, you know, it was fine. It was fine. So I think things are changing, but the restrictions right now, I think, are important. We want to keep people safe.
Absolutely. All right. So we'll have more right after the break. But first, let's not forget the Senior Care Live question of the week. Feelings of isolation is a new phenomenon as a result of COVID-19 restrictions. Is that statement true or false? We'll have the answer right after the break.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information about the services offered on this program and how we can help you and your family, be sure to call us on our toll-free number anytime. It's 1-800-331-6445. 1-800-331-6445. And don't forget, you can stream this program to any electronic device. If you go to seniorcarelive.com, click on the big microphone right there on the homepage or the Listen Live button. Give it a few seconds to connect, and then it'll start streaming to your phone, your tablet, your computer, whatever you have. And it really is that simple. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. Feelings of isolation is a new phenomenon as a result of COVID-19 restrictions. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is false. The answer is false. Isolation is a natural human response to trauma, sadness, and a recognized symptom of depression. And the current environment of community-imposed physical distancing makes it easier for people struggling with sadness and isolation to go unnoticed and unsupported. And I'll tell you what, that is one of the really, really bad I guess, byproducts of this whole situation. We have to do it, but it's a serious issue. So we're here with David Wiley, President and CEO of Kansas City Hospice. And David, what are some of the ways we can come together as a community to support one another? And how can we ensure that our most vulnerable community members do not go unnoticed?
You know, that's a great question, Steve. And I think this is an opportunity for all of us to show up for one another. And a few lessons that we're learning. So first, you know, there's power in proximity. So good neighbors have never mattered more than right now. And one of the easiest things that we can do is check on those neighbors. You know, so if there's an older individual on your street or your apartment building or somebody who's facing an illness, check in with them, make sure they're doing okay. You know, slip your phone number under the door, offer to pick up some perishables on your next run to the grocery store, or set up a signal which allows you to let them know that they're safe and okay, or whether they need some help. So this hyper local connection is necessary. And as people begin to reacquaint themselves with the age old neighborly norms, I think there's building new friendships in new ways. And I think we're actually on the cusp of a neighborhood renaissance, even as we hunker down, you know, at home. And the second area is to support organizations who are helping on the front lines of healthcare or providing assistance with basic needs. So for example, if you have financial resources to share with others, please consider a financial gift to organizations on the front lines of healthcare or social service assistance. At Kansas City Hospice, not only are we seeing increased expenses related to technology, PPE, and other organizational needs as we work to respond to the pandemic, but we're seeing our patients who've been thrown into financial instability as they are simultaneously challenged with a serious illness. So in the past several weeks, we've had several or multiple patients who are now homeless because of COVID-19.
Oh my gosh.
One of the patients, for example, was isolated from a caregiver. They could no longer stay in the home. They had no resources to his name, and he was sleeping in a van until he was recently moved to the Kansas City Hospice House, for example. Okay. Another patient in her 30s, coping with a painful and serious illness, can no longer work, and she's sleeping on a friend's couch until she can find stable housing. So I just think those are two really important things, and those financial resources help reach out to those people that don't we can support those that don't have it. Okay. From a volunteer perspective, it's another way to support organization, like companion calls or pen pals. Some of our volunteers are sending cards and letters to our patients, which include a pre-stamped envelope, so then they can write back. And also, we have a great music therapist. And he's a volunteer. His name is Gary Kirkland. He serenades patients at the Kansas City Hospice House by playing outside of their windows. And
I've seen the pictures of him. I love that.
It's so great. He brings his dog Emma, and so anyway, if people have a special skill set, they can offer to help, and that can be very powerful for people. Another one is care bags. Our volunteers are delivering care bags to our patients that include items like shampoo and toilet paper and hand sanitizer and cleaning products and adult coloring books and pencils. And then they drop them off at the door, and then they call and say it's out there. So it's a surprise. And I think that's really cool.
That is cool.
But anyway, so, you know, our volunteer services don't look like they normally would, but we're really working to continue to keep our volunteers engaged and our families supported.
All right. That is just excellent. And clearly the work of Kansas City Hospice does not stop. And there are so many ways people can continue to help their fellow community members. And David, I have one more question for you related to how we as a community can support one another, particularly as we grieve the loss of loved ones and remember them together. Sure. And for decades now, Kansas City Hospice has held a community ceremony. And this is, this might be my favorite one, called The Circle of Lights, which offers individuals and families a powerful way to remember their loved ones. In rain or shine, this event has occurred every year, and it's always the week before Memorial Day. And last year, drawing more than 800 people who requested more than 1,300 luminaries. So in this current environment, are you still planning to carry on with that event this year?
You know, it's a great question, Steve, and I love this event. It's so meaningful, not only to families that we serve at Kansas City Hospice, but actually to people all across the community who have experienced the death of someone they've cared for or they've loved. And so I'm really happy to say yes, that we are going to host Circle of Lights once again this year on May 19th at 8 p.m. Of course, we want people to be safe and healthy. And so for this, for the first time for this event, we're not going to gather in person, but we're going to gather together as the community in an online environment. So we're working hard to ensure that the event is successful and powerful and meaningful to participating families. And one really positive thing about the move to an online event like this is that people are going to be able to participate who maybe weren't able to previously because they were either homebound or maybe they were outside the Kansas City area. So if you have somebody that you love and you'd like to recognize them with this memorial event, you can go to kchospice.org/we remember, and you can make a secure donation in tribute of your loved one if you decide to do that, or you can request that a candle be lit in their name for display on our website. So you'll be asked for your email address, and then we'll send you a link so you can join us and participate in the community event, which again is going to be held on May 19th at 8 p.m.
All right. It's called The Circle of Lights. You can sign up, make a donation, and have a candle lit luminary for your loved one that you miss in your grieving. You just want to share in that bond with others who are going through the same thing. kchospice.org/we remember. It's Tuesday, May the 19th at 8 p.m. And David, I'm really looking forward to that. I will be having a candle lit in my dad's name. It's just a great, great program. So thank you for all that you do and everyone in your wonderful program there at KC Hospice. We just love you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Steve. We appreciate the support, and you guys be safe as well.
All right. We'll have more right after the break.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information about the services offered on this program and how we can help you and your family, call us on our toll-free number anytime. It's 1-800-331-6445. 1-800-331-6445. Don't forget, if you ever miss an episode of Senior Care Live, maybe you want to share the program with someone else, or maybe you just want to go back and hear it again, no worries at all. Go to seniorcarelive.com, click on the podcast tab, and that's where you'll find all of the previously aired episodes, and just they're in chronological order. So find the one that you wanted to hear, and again, click play and give it a couple of seconds to connect, and it'll stream to your electronic device, and lots of people listen to the podcast of this program after the fact. So feel free to help yourself. All right. Just want to say thanks again to my friend and special guest today, Mr. David Wiley. He is an amazing man, and he leads an amazing organization, Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And they have so many just incredible events. And this one might, I mean, I like, you already know, I like Mustache Month, and you know, there are a lot of events. This one might be my favorite. And again, just to emphasize that, it's called the Circle of Lights. And normally, everyone gets together. It's down in the plaza, and you light this beautiful luminary in remembrance of someone who is gone and someone you miss. And everyone's doing that. And this just this powerful, powerful group coming together. And we all have something in common where we really miss our loved one. And it could be multiple people that you're honoring with this luminary. And it is, there's something that's so powerful when a group comes together in remembrance like that. It is phenomenal. So we're going to do this online this year, which is a really cool idea. And if you want to donate, make a donation on behalf of the person you're grieving, the person that you miss, the person who is gone and that you're going to recognize for this event, you can go, it's really simple, kchospice.org/we remember. kchospice.org/we remember. And you can make a donation there. You can request a luminary in the name of your loved one. And this is going to be held Tuesday evening, May the 19th. So coming right up. And it's at 8 p.m. So just really cool. And something David had mentioned, you know, this way, I mean, you know, there maybe there are quite a number of people who will not be able to, make that event. Maybe they're homebound. Maybe they're not feeling well. And this is a perfect opportunity to attend this event online and just really get a lot out of it. And I can imagine that next year's event going forward, maybe it's on two tracks. Maybe it's offered live streaming and to where you could join online and in person to pick up really both groups, folks who would like to get out and can get out and folks who would love to attend but cannot get out. So I can see that possibly happening the following year. And then David also mentioned something that really, really caught my ear. And he talked about we're on the cusp of a neighborhood renaissance, even as we are kind of locked in our homes right now and rediscovering our neighbors and forming new friendships. Just a quick story. We live in a subdivision out in Spring Hill, Kansas, and there's a neighborhood Facebook page that most of our neighbors are on, and we talk about all sorts of things. And one of the neighbors said, "Hey, we're all locked in, but we're all here together, and let's have some fun. And Saturday at 6 p.m., go outside and clash, you know, pots and pans, and whoop and holler, honk your car horn, and let your neighbors know that you're here, you're live, you're well, and that we're all in this thing together as a kind of a show of solidarity and neighborly love and support." And so I set a timer. And at 6 o'clock, I went out with the loudest, noisiest pan that I have and a wooden spoon and bang, 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 bang. And I couldn't believe the cacophony of just noise rising from our neighborhood. And people were honking. And I heard somebody beating a bass drum somewhere. I heard like some trombones and some musical instruments and woo, woo. And I heard like a triangle dinner bell, ling, 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 you know, and all sorts of noise. It went on for about 5 minutes and everyone was laughing and smiling. And just that was so cool. So this neighborhood renaissance that is happening, I can say, at least in the neighborhood that we live in. So and I was visiting with David off air, kind of in between the break there. But as difficult as this is, there are going to be so many good things that come out of this. So many great things will come from this. So, you know, we're still locked down and you know, I can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. We still have a ways to go, but everyone hang in there. We're going to get through this. It's going to be okay. Painful, but okay. Okay. So I'm going to shift gears here and talk about something that you know I work with every single day. To a lot of people, this is something that is probably pretty new. But I work with families who are searching for a senior care community. And, you know, a lot of family and individuals are needing the assisted living level of care. And then a lot of them need more help than that. So they're looking at long-term care, also known as a nursing home. And so I just wanted to touch on something today and just let you know, there is a huge difference, and that's huge, all caps, huge difference in long-term care communities. And it's just incredible how different some of these places are. So if you didn't know, there's a movement, it's been going on for a while, and it's in long-term care that's referred to as culture change or person-centered care. Now, what is that? Well, culture change and person-centered care is basically this. In these long-term care communities, again, also known as nursing homes, there is a deliberate and concerted effort to make these places less institutional and more home-like. And so I can already see some eyes rolling. Well, Steve, it's not like my home. I understand that. I understand. And there's only so much you can do with a building. I said more home-like. And so there are some examples of this that I wanted to share with you on how you can affect in a positive way culture change, less institutional and more home-like, and then implement person-centered care, because quite frankly, it's all about the residents and the care provided for those residents. So here's an example of culture change and person-centered care. So, you know, one place that I recently spoke with, and I was kind of shocked, actually. In fact, I about fell out of my chair. when I was touring a community with my client and with his wife, and they asked about showers. Well, do you get a shower every day, or how do you deal with the showers? And here is a quote. You get 2 showers per week, and that's it. We only have so many staff to help with this, and that's what you'll get, 2 showers a week, period. And I didn't say anything. I just waited for my clients to respond, and there was just silence. Like, you got to be kidding me. You get 2 showers a week, and you'll like it, is kind of what it was. And I'm just like, wow, you haven't heard of culture change, have you? So another place will use person-centered care approach, and they would answer it like this. So if we're at another place, and this particular place is very, very good at person-centered care. In fact, they may be the leaders of all places in person-centered care. Same question was asked, you know, how do we deal with the showers and you know, how's that going to work? And how many showers do I get per week and that sort of thing? And you know what their response wasn't, you get 2 a week and you like it. Their response was really a question. Sir, how many showers did you take at home? And he said, well, I mean, I like to take a shower every day. Because I don't feel good unless I've had a shower and had my hair washed and I like to take a shower every day. And that's what I do at my home. And this place said, well, then that's exactly what we'll do here. If you took a shower every day at your home, then we want to duplicate that rhythm and we want to do here what you did there. And so we'll give you a shower every day. Do you prefer your shower in the morning, in the afternoons, or in the evening? And they went on from there. So instead of barking out you'll get 2 showers a week, whether you like it or not, they asked the question, how many showers do you take at home? And whatever that is, we'll do it here because this will be your new home and we want to do here what you did in your home. And that is a great example of person-centered care and culture change. I'm going to have several more examples of that right after the break. Don't go away.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information about the services offered on this program and how we can help you and your family, be sure to call us on our toll-free number anytime. It's 1-800-331-6445. 1-800-331-6445. All right, back to our conversation of culture change and person-centered care. So the old institutional way, you'll get two showers a week, whether you like it or not. Wow. Okay. That's the old way. And I guess it's the current way from some places, which is ridiculous, by the way. The new way is, sir, how many showers would you like to have? And how many showers do you normally take while living at home? And if you take a shower every other day or every day, okay, great. Then that's what we will do here. So trust me, there's a huge difference in all of these places, even if they look kind of the same. We help our clients with senior care consulting. We help our clients navigate through the really difficult process of determining what they need, what they want, and then finding the top senior care communities that match our wants and our needs, that check every box that we're looking for. So let me give you a few other examples of culture change and person-centered care. So one big area, and this is, you know, not that difficult to change, is in the area of dining. And look, you know, eating, that's a big deal. And that as you grow older, and if you're living in a senior care community, I mean, that's a big social event, and you want good food. We all want good food. So in the area of dining, this is the older, you know, tired institutional model. Well, you'll get up at 6 a.m., and this is what you'll have at breakfast, and you will like it. I mean, this is what you get. This is what you'll have. This is when you'll eat it. And there you go. Boom. And it, like it or leave it. An example of culture change and person-centered care is to the question of, well, when do you have breakfast? Because I kind of like to sleep in a little bit. That's no worries at all. You can sleep in till whenever you'd like to get up, and then you can come down to the dining room and we will make you breakfast to order. Because you know what we do in our home? Like especially, you know, on the weekends, you know, we sleep till we want to sleep, unless we have something going on that morning. But if we want to sleep in a little bit, we can sleep in. And then what do? We go down to the kitchen and sometimes it might be a piece of toast. Sometimes it's, you know, waffles and bacon, or, you know, sometimes it's, you know, omelets, or sometimes it's just a cup of coffee. So it's different because you don't feel the same every morning. And sometimes you might want breakfast at 7 a.m. Sometimes you might want breakfast at 9:30 a.m. So again, culture change. You sleep in till whenever you want to get up. And when you want to come down to the dining room, we'll make you breakfast to order. Boom. Culture change. And it's a good thing. And it's not that difficult to implement. Okay. instead of, well, you can eat from, you know, what are your dining hall hours? 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. And your lunch will be from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. And your dinner will be from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Oh, okay. Well, what if I sleep in a little bit and want to eat something at 9:30 a.m. for breakfast? Nope, can't do it. Sorry. Dining hall's closed. You know, it's ridiculous. So instead of that, that's the old institutional model. It is, the response would be, we have open dining and you can eat when you want to. And, you know, generally we'll have breakfast around this time, lunch around this time, and dinner around this time. But if you are kind of a night owl, maybe you like to be up at night. And if you're hungry at 2 a.m., we'll make a full meal for you if that's what you want. Because again, guess what? If you wanted to do that at your house, you could and you would do that if you wanted to do that. All right, here's another example. It's a place that just does such a great job. They are the leaders of culture change. And in fact, they teach other senior care communities how to implement culture change. But I was walking through on a tour one time and the really nice lady said, Steve, do you notice anything different? And I said, well, I'm looking around. I'm like, I'm not seeing anything, I don't think. And she said, do you notice any medication carts sitting in our hallway? And I'm looking around, I'm like, you know what? Now that you mentioned that, no, I don't see any medication cart sitting around. And she said, well, you know, we're walking down the hall one day and someone said, well, wait a minute. If this is really supposed to be our home, does anyone here in your home have a medication cart sitting in the hallway as you walk down to your bedroom? Well, of course, no, they don't. Well, then why do we have them here? So what they did was they tore out a closet space on each, and it's not a hallway, it's a neighborhood. And they turned that closet into an apothecary, which is a little drugstore. And that's where they distribute the medication for residents on that particular hallway slash neighborhood. And they got rid of all their medication carts, really cleaned the place up. A medication cart kind of equals institutional look. You might see those in hospitals and that sort of thing, you know, which is fine. But this is someone's home and we don't have med carts in someone's home. So, and then I think the biggest and most difficult challenge and maybe the slowest part of culture change is just changing the attitudes of the staff. So imagine you're a nurse and for years you've pulled into this parking lot and you walk into this building, you open the door and you walk into the building and you clock in. And this is where I take care of elderly people who need my help. How much different would that nurse act if she thought this way? She pulled into the parking lot. That's like pulling into someone's driveway. She opens the front door to the building. That's the same thing as opening the front door to someone's house, to their home. And when you walk down the hall and you walk into a resident's room, you're now walking into a resident's bedroom in their home. That's a sacred and personal space. How much different would you act if you really thought of it that way? So I think changing the mindset of the staff is the most difficult part of that, but it is happening. It is happening. And the point of this story and these examples is that not all senior care communities are the same. And this is just one of the many ways that we're able to help our clients at Senior Care Consulting, help determine what you need, help determine what, you know, do the research in the market to determine our top communities meeting all of your needs. And then we meet with you and the communities. We conduct a performance audit. We ask a ton of questions. We calculate exact staffing ratios. We report to you what the state found in its most recent surprise health inspection. All of this fantastic information to help you make the best decision possible. If you need help, we can help you today if needed. 913-945-2800 or online at seniorcareconsulting.com. All right, just want to thank David Wiley from Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care for all the great information. Just a great guy, great organization. Sure did enjoy having him on the program today. All right, I'm your host, Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. I'll see you next week, right here on Senior Care Live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.